Hey, I'm Sam Sanders, and I'm hosting a new culture podcast. It's called Into It, from Vulture and New York Magazine. Each week on the show, we get into the pop culture that we just can't stop thinking about. Like Beyoncé. I mean, we'll talk about other things, too. But let's be real. Beyoncé is going to be a big part of the show. And that's the that on that. Into It, the weekly culture show from Vulture, with new episodes every Thursday. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everybody, welcome back to From Complex to Queens, Amazing Avenue's minor league podcast. I am Steve Saipa, and I'll be joined by Lucas Vlahos in just a little bit, but we're going to just jump right into things first and go over how the Mets affiliates did this week. So first up are the Syracuse Mets, and they played the Omaha Storm Chasers, and they split the series with them 3-3. So Syracuse is now 45-54 on the season, which is 9.5 games back behind the Durham Bulls. Francisco Alvarez, he went 5-20 with 2 doubles, 2 homers, and 7 walks to 5 strikeouts, which really has been his MO in AAA so far, tons and tons of walks. And the few things that he is getting to hit have been going out for power. So he is now hitting .259. .368, .531 on the year, with 21 homers and 51 walks to 91 strikeouts. Mark Vientos, he also had a good week this week. He went 7-20 with a double and 2 homers and 4 walks to 3 strikeouts. So on the season now, he's hitting .267, .350, .524 with 19 home runs and 33 walks to 95 strikeouts. Binghamton Rumble Ponies, they played the New Hampshire Fisher Cats, and they went 2-4, and they are now 7-19 in the second half, and 35-60 overall, 9.5 games behind the first place Portland Sea Dogs. Brett Beatty, excellent week. He went 12-26 with a double, 3 home runs, and 2 walks to 4 strikeouts. And on the season now, he is hitting .306, .397, .524 with 21 doubles, 16 homers, and 41 walks to 91 strikeouts. Ryan Mauricio had a decent week as well, which, you know, is happening kind of far and few in between with him. But he went 7-25 with a double, 2 homers, and 2 steals. And he had 3 walks to 4 strikeouts. So Mauricio is now hitting .249, .290, .475 on the season with 20 doubles, a triple, 18 home runs, 13 out of 18 stolen bases, and 17 walks to 86 strikeouts. Brooklyn Cyclones, they played the Hudson Valley Renegades, and they went 4-2 against them. So they are now 18-12. In the second half, a game and a half ahead of those same Renegades in the standings. The strong week also brought them to an even 48-48 on the season as a whole. Alex Ramirez started the month of July out hot, and he is ending it hot. And he went for the week 7-23 with a double, 3 home runs, and 2 walks to 9 strikeouts. So his line on the season, and that includes St. Lucie and Brooklyn, of course, is .288, .359, .473, with 18 doubles, 7 triples, 11 home runs, 19 of 33 stolen bases, and 34 walks to 89 strikeouts. St. Lucie Mets, they played the Palm Beach Cardinals, and they split the series with them 3-3. There should have been no change in the standings, because the Cardinals were in first place coming into the week and they split the series 3-3, but the Jupiter Hammerheads have actually snuck into second place since they are currently on a winning streak. They're 7-3 in their last 10 games. So Jupiter is a half game back, and St. Lucie is two games behind Palm Beach Cardinals. And then finally, last but not least, the FCL Mets. And they went 5-6 over the course of the week. And they are now 23-14 on the season. All right, so the first thing that we're going to get to this week is the draft signing deadline. And that is today, Monday at 5 o'clock. And without anything radical changing, the Mets will have signed 9 of their first 10 picks. First rounder Kevin Parada, he signed for about $5 million, and their other first round pick, Jet Williams, he signed for $3.9 million. Blade Tidwell, the second rounder, he signed for $1.8 million. Nick Morbido, their compensation pick, he signed for $1 million. Fourth rounder Jacob Reimer, he signed for $775,000. Fifth rounder DeAndre Smith, he signed for $379,000. Sixth rounder Tyler Stewart, he signed for $220,000. Seventh rounder Jonah Tong, he signed for $225,000. Eighth rounder Dylan Tebrake, he signed for $130,000. Ninth rounder Chase Estep, he signed for $120,000. And 10th round pick Zebulon Vermillion signed for $20,000. The one that got away, the one that they weren't able to sign, or it's likely they were not being able to sign, is third round pick Brandon Sproat. He signaled that he's not going to be signing and he's going to be going back to the University of Florida. This past season was technically his third year there, but he redshirted because of COVID, so he was a redshirt sophomore this past season. He'll be a redshirt junior next year. You know, being drafted in a third round is definitely not nothing to sneeze at. You know, it's not like he was drafted in the 13th round or anything like that. He was the 90th overall pick. Slot value for the 90th overall pick was $691,000. The Mets had something like $250,000 left without going over their pool and incurring penalties and stuff like that. So the Mets could have offered him, you know, a little bit under $1 million. And Sproat was said to be looking for first-round money. On the surface, you know, it seems like it's a pretty big gamble on himself. But when you break down the money, it's probably not too big of a reach. He established himself as the Florida ace when Hunter Barco went down in May or so. So basically all next season, he's going to be the ace of the staff. So he's going to have all that prestige. His numbers this year weren't bad. He posted a 3.41 ERA in 89 and two-thirds innings with about one hit per inning, three walks per nine, and eight strikeouts per nine. Not bad. And the stuff is pretty good. Fastball sits in the mid-90s, almost hits 100, you know, premium velocity. Slider has a very high spin rate and really sharp break, and the curveball is okay. So, assuming he doesn't get hurt or completely crater next season, I could definitely see him being picked a little bit higher than he was this year at 90 and getting paid the money that he wants. It definitely sucks for us. It sucks for the Mets. You know, we shared our hypothetical revised top 10 prospect lists last week, and I had Sproat slotting in at 10, and Lucas had him at 11. So him not signing is a hit to the system, but all is not lost. The Mets are going to get a compensation pick for him in next year's draft. They're going to get a pick between the third and fourth rounds. So depending on how things shake out with free agency and the competitive balance picks and whatever else, that could be somewhere around pick 100, depending on how the Mets want to play it, what their strategy is going to be next year. There will be good players available around, you know, pick 100. The slot value for that pick will probably be around $500,000. So if they want to play around with the bonus values, that's a decent little chunk of change that they could save there. So there are options. I personally like Sproat. I would have preferred him to have signed, but him not signing is not the end of the world. The Mets lose out on the money that would have been allocated to him for the 90th overall pick, which, like I said before, was $691,000. And they had something like $250,000 left that they would have been able to give to him. So you take out that $691,000, and the Mets have about $250,000 they could work with here. That $250,000 is not going to be enough to entice some of the backup. What's a nice way of putting it? Basically, that amount of money is not going to be able to entice Jackson Jeha or Jackson Lovitch to not go to college. You know, anything over $125,000 would be would affect the draft pool and the penalties. So, you know, that's just not enough money for it to be worthwhile to them. So they're not going to sign either. But, you know, getting 9 of their first 10 picks is not a bad thing. And, you know, some of those players I do think are bargains. Some of those players are pretty solid and I think might surprise. So, you know, it's a hit to the system not being able to sign Sproat, but it's not like a disaster. You know, it's not like a last year situation. And now we have Lucas Vlahos with a trade proposal for the upcoming trade deadline.
What makes an Everett Road Trip even more epic? When you get to hit the highway and stay connected with your team at the same time. There's no reason to settle for anything less as a baseball fan. And with T-Mobile, you have it all at your fingertips because T-Mobile has the best 5G coverage in the game. These days, when you're out and about, you want to use your phone for everything. From staying on the right track with GPS, finding local restaurants, streaming your favorite podcasts, like this one, of course, and catching your favorite MLB team on the go so you don't miss a beat. This summer, thanks to T-Mobile 5G, I'll be heading out on my travels without a care in the world and won't have to worry about FOMO from missing a walk-off win because I'm on the road. So step up today, fellow baseball fans, and make sure to switch to T-Mobile, the network with more 5G bars in more places. T-Mobile has America's largest 5G network. See 5G device, coverage, and access details at T-Mobile.com.
The Iowa Lottery was out there saying on a regular basis, hey folks, check your ticket, somebody's got $16 million. And it was sort of this mystery, why hasn't anyone come forward?
I'm Phoebe Judge, host of the podcast Criminal. True stories about people who've done wrong, been wronged, or gotten caught somewhere in the middle, told by people who know them best. Like a man who successfully figured out how to negotiate with his father's kidnappers after some trial and error.
They were just like, for that price, we won't even tell you where he's buried.
And a 12-year-old who solved a family mystery.
There were 3 little fingerprints. And I remember in junior DA camp, I was like, oh, fingerprints, this is definitely some evidence. Then we can find whoever broke into my grandmother's house.
Discover the unexpected side of true crime.
There were no security alarms whatsoever. The file cabinets were not even locked. So that gave us enough information to plan the actual break-in.
Listen to Criminal now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, Lucas here to talk about the my idealized trade for this deadline. The deadline's coming up on Tuesday, and the Mets still seem to be in the market for some bats and arms. My trade is going to focus on the bat side. I think the reliever market is still a little bit opaque. There's going to be names that, only a couple of names have even been discussed so far, like David Robertson and Andrew Chafin. Beyond that, there's going to be multiple other relievers moved, and I think a lot of them are a little bit more interchangeable than maybe we recognize. So I'm not going to touch on that as much. I'm more interested in the offensive side of things. The Mets have obviously already added Tyler Naquin and Daniel Vogelbach, but I think they're still need to and probably will add at least one more bat here. They've obviously been connected to Trey Mancini for a while, connected to Wilson Contreras recently, but I'm going to touch on perhaps the newest rumor, which is with the Red Sox, where the Mets have been linked to both Christian Vasquez, the catcher, and J.D. Martinez as our right-handed DH option. So the deal I'd propose, Dominic Smith, Mark Vientos, And either an IFA name of their choice, or if they insist on it, I'd be willing to move Joel Diaz as the third piece of the deal, and trade all of those guys for both Christian Vasquez and JD Martinez. Real quick on the Mets side of things, I don't think Dom has any value, but reportedly the Red Sox have had interest in him in the past, have asked about him fairly recently, so if they would take him, I'd absolutely do that. Vientos is well known. I think he's a little bit more limited at this point. I don't think he can really play anywhere aside from first, and the bat's a little stiff. He's going to be like JD Davis, and I think, frankly, you'd trade JD Davis for whatever at this point. And Joel Diaz came into the season with a lot of hype, and there's some things to like there, but he's been generally disappointing. I just don't even think he's better than the arm they gave up to acquire Tyler Naquin in the first place. So I think that would be a pretty reasonable package to give up. And yeah, having Vientos around for the future would be nice, but in the position the Mets are in, I think you make that trade. So let's talk about the players they'd be getting. And we can start with Vasquez. And I'm kind of looking at Vasquez here as the alternative to acquiring Wilson Contreras. The Mets pretty clearly need some catching help. James McCann's been a disaster. And, I mean, I love Tomas Nito. I'd be okay starting him if push came to shove, but I think ideally you get a better starter and he's a perfect backup catcher. So Vasquez, I would argue, is a better player overall than Wilson Contreras. Now, Wilson Contreras certainly has the better bat, but he's something of a disaster in terms of framing. He's been below average this year. Previous years, he's been close to the bottom of the league in baseball perspectives, his framing metrics, and that's far and away the most important part of catcher defense. I'm someone who just doesn't really believe in starting a bad defensive catcher unless they're literally Mike Piazza, and I don't think Wilson Contreras is that. I think he's a 10 to 15% better than league average bat, which is great at catcher, but just based on my preferences for team building, that's not something I'm super eager to acquire. Better than James McCann, of course, but I'm not going to pay out the nose. Vasquez, on the other hand, generally an above-average defender. His offense isn't as good historically, but this year he's running a 111 weighted runs created plus. He ran a 115 in 2020. Bit of a down year last year. His power kind of disappeared. He was at 77, but he's been a consistently decent hitter for a catcher with decent defense, and I think that he'd be a clear upgrade as a starter over both Nito and McCann. What do you do with James McCann in this case? I could not care less. DFA him. You're going to have to move on from him at some point anyway, so I'm not particularly worried about that side of things. So I'm viewing Christian Vasquez as the better Wilson Contreras choice here. He's also a pending free agent, so I don't think you're looking at paying a ton, not someone who's going to be getting a qualifying offer or anything like that. On to JD Martinez, who's obviously a big, big name, but is 34 now, and having, by his standards, a bit of a down year. Only 9 home runs, been dealing with some back issues, some back spasms, which is certainly concerning. But despite all that, still has a 125 weighted runs created plus, still hitting the ball extremely hard, still has close to optimal launch angle. It's come down a little bit from his previous year, so more line drives as opposed to fly balls. But he's still an excellent hitter, right? He's hitting 20 to 30% better than league average, and against lefties, he has almost a 200 weighted runs created plus against lefties this year. So the Mets were acquiring him to be the right-handed half of a DH platoon. You're going to help keep his back healthy, and you just let him go out there and absolutely destroy lefties. And whether that becomes a more usual start, basically, however you slice it, if you have Vogelbach and Martinez platooning at DH, you're always going to have a big bat to come off the bench in a pinch hitting situation, and you're always going to have a really platoon favored bat in that DH spot. So I think it's almost a perfect idea here. You probably don't want to play JD Martinez anywhere in the field. He can maybe stand in the outfield. I wouldn't be thrilled about it, and it might be better for his back if he didn't. He hasn't actually played the outfield at all this year. But I think the potential offensive output there is just potentially incredible and worth pursuing. I already talked a little bit earlier about why this price might seem high to some people. Let me now push back on the people who think this price might be too low. Both of these guys are impending free agents. Neither of them are going to get qualifying offers, and meaning the Red Sox have basically no leverage here, right? They have no ability to say, we'll pass on your offer, give him a QO, and get something, right? It's not like you're dealing with the Cubs or Javier Baez or Chris Bryant like last year. And frankly, I think the Mets might even be giving up more than what the Giants gave up for Chris Bryant last year based on consensus rankings. Now, my feelings on Mark Vientos are a little different, and I'd be willing to do this. And I certainly maybe wouldn't lead with that as an offer, but if push came to shove and the Red Sox say you can have an elite right-handed DH and one of the better underrated catchers, so patching your two biggest offensive holes, and all you have to give up is a first baseman you no longer need, a first base prospect you also really don't need, and a low minors flyer, I would be very willing to do that. I think that would give the Mets arguably the greatest set of offensive players in baseball, and really set them up to absolutely mash some people through in the playoffs. So that's the deal I'm going for. JD Martinez and Christian Vasquez for Dom Smith, Mark Vientos, and Joel Diaz. We'll see if the Mets do something similar, something totally different, or disappoint us and do nothing at all.
All right, everybody, that is our show for the week. So if anyone has any questions, comments, whatever, you can send us an email at our email address from complexthequeens@gmail.com. You could follow us on Twitter and shoot us questions there. I am at Steve Sipa. Lucas is at ElvlaHost343. Ken is at Ken1191. And Thomas is at ZedMetSZN, S-Z-N. Subscribe to the podcast, wherever you get your podcasts from. Rate and review it. And, of course, we thank you for listening, especially Dan's friends. I heard the feedback, and thank you. We will be back next week. So until then, love the Mets. Love the Mets.